Anong favorite mong flavor ng ice cream? I read an article from Reader's Digest this week dahil medyo na-curious ako sa kanyang title. And the title ng article is Hidden Personality Traits. Let me read that again. Hidden Personality Traits Revealed Through Your Favorite Ice Cream Flavor. So ano sinasabi ito? Kung ano daw ang iyong favorite ice cream flavor, ay mabubunyag ang iyong tunay na pagkatao. Wow! Interesting, meron silang backup research about this. Let me mention a few flavors at sasabihin niya kung ano ang personality niyo. Okay? According sa Reader's Digest. First of all, vanilla lovers. Kung ikaw a person na mahilig sa vanilla ice cream flavor, ikaw daw ay impulsive. It's interesting, very plain, very one solid color lang to. Pero they actually likely to be colorful people, impulsive, idealistic, risk takers who rely more on intuition than logic. So they say. Pangalawa, strawberry. Strawberry flavored ice cream or strawberry lovers are introverts. Sabi dito. Strawberry lovers were often tolerant, devoted, introverted, and also logical and thoughtful. Rocky Road. Kung mahilig kayo sa Rocky Road, ikaw daw ay aggressive. They're most likely aggressive and engaging but are good listeners. Ito yung favorite ko. Coffee lovers ice cream. Hindi ko nagustuhan eh. Dramatic. They say lively, dramatic, enthusiastic. Hindi ko naman nakikita sa personality ko to. Chocolate chip lovers. Generous. Kayo daw ay generous. They're generous, competent, and a go-getter. Aggressive, medyo competent. Competitive, sorry. So probably you're sitting there and you're waiting for your favorite flavor. Guess what? Hindi ko lahat to sinulat, and maybe you're wondering what's with chocolate. You can look it up to yourself. Okay? As interesting as this sounds, there is some truth to this. Eating is a cultural event. What we eat and whom we eat with says something about who we are. And in our passage ngayong hapon na ito, makikita po natin how beautiful and thriving yung fellowship ng isang young church in Galatia or yung churches in Galatia. Kaso, yung church na to ay naguntang dahil sa isang aksyon ng ilang mama who are fearful during sa isang church potluck. Dahil sa aksyon nilang ito, they had placed the gospel of Jesus Christ at risk. We are now in our fourth week in our sermon series called Galatians. No other gospel. False teachers or Judaizers has crept in the churches in Galatia, spreading a false gospel, a wrong gospel, a gospel that is promoting Christ plus circumcision or food laws. Yun po yung ninadag na. It's a gospel plus message. These Judaizers were inserting doubts sa mga tiga Galatia about the validity ng message na pinipreach ni Paul and the message bearer, which is si Paul then. For the past weeks, we have seen Paul defended yung gospel of grace through faith in Christ alone, even defended his apostolic authority because he carries sa kanyang message yung gospel of Jesus Christ. And last week, ang passage po natin ended with the Jerusalem apostles giving the right hand of fellowship to Paul as the sign of gospel partnership. Kasi pareho tayo ng gospel na, then we are partners. There was unity in what they believe about the gospel. But what happens if they differ in their behavior? The same belief but different behavior. Ito po ang titignan po natin sa remaining verses ng chapter 2, which is verses 11 hanggang 21. According sa mga theologians, ang passage daw na ito ang pinaka nakakatense na passage sa buong New Testament, which is really interesting. And let me read ang isang scholar ng pangalan si John Stott. Bakit daw ang dahilan? Dahil dalawa sa haligi ng church na nauwi sa harap-harap ang komprontasyon. Yun daw ang nangyari. So let me read and quote John Stott. Sabi John Stott, "This is without doubt one of the most intense or tense and dramatic episodes in the New Testament. Here are two leading apostles of Jesus Christ face to face in complete and open conflict. When Paul visited Jerusalem, Peter, together with James and John, gave him the right hand of fellowship. When Peter visited Antioch, Paul opposed him to his face." Ano ba ang nature ng conflict na ito? Anong nature ng conflict ng dalawang apostles na ito? Tama ba ang approach ni Paul kay Peter? Hindi ba ito medyo harsh yung dating? Ano ba ang nako-communicate sa kinikilos ni Peter sa ganyang ginawa? Hindi ba dapat umiwas na lang siguro si Paul para wala na lang gulo? Kasi nakakahiya rin dahil ang daming tao. Mga kaibigan, kung ang gospel ni Jesus Christ ang nakataya, there should be conflict. Kung ang gospel ni Jesus Christ ang nakataya, there should be confrontation. Ang aking dalangin ngayong hapon na ito is that we would see ang relationship between the gospel ng ating pananiniwalaan at sa ating araw-araw na pamumuhay. At ganun pa man, maging handa tayong manindigan kapag ang ebanghelyo ng Panginoon Hesukristo ang siyang nakataya. When the truth of the gospel is on the line, believers in Christ must be prepared to put the principle into practice. When the truth of the gospel is on the line, believers in Christ must be prepared to put the principle into practice. I have a three-worded point or points ngayong hapon ito so that we can easily understand and remember. Number one, compromise, verses 11 to 13. Number two, confrontation, verses 14. And number three, conviction, verses 15 hanggang 21. Number one, compromise. I'm using the word compromise dito in the negative, okay? Na ang ibig sabihin po ay paglabag o pagtalikod o pag-abandona sa isang paniniwala, prinsipyo o pamumuhay. Yun po ang ibig sabihin ko when I say compromise. And this is how we describe Peter's actions sa passage natin ngayong hapon na ito. Look at verse 11. "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned." Hindi po nabanggit kung bakit dumalaw si Cephas or si Peter. Si Peter din po ito. Bakit siya bumisita mismo sa Antioch. Pero alam po natin, nangyari po ito pagkatapos ng bisita ni Paul, ni Titus, at saka ni Barnabas sa Jerusalem. Peter probably wants to see for himself kung paano ba talaga kumikilos ang Panginoon sa mga Gentile believers doon. So, pumunta po siya to explore. Ang Antioch po ay isang lugar na kung saan ang mga followers ni Christ ay first time na tinawag na Christians, which is interesting. At doon din nagsimula ang kauna-unahang New Testament church sa mga Gentiles. Now, nung si Paul ay dumalaw kaila Peter sa Jerusalem, the apostle gave them the right hand of fellowship or partnership because they share the same gospel. Ngunit, ang kabaliktaran naman ito, pagpunta ni Peter sa Antioch, ang ginawa ni Paul, he opposed him to his face. Harap-harapan niyang kinumpronta si Peter dahil si Peter ay malinaw na nasa mali. Sabi sa verse 11, he stood condemned. Or in other words, guilty siya of a sin. Ano daw ba ang nagawa ni Peter at harap-harapan siyang kinumpronta ni Paul? Well, the answer is in verse 12. "For before certain men came from James, he was eating with Gentiles, but when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party." Nung nasa Antioch si Peter, walang issue sa kanya ito eh. Walang issue sa kanya na makipag-fellowship, na kumain, makisalo sa mga Gentile Christians. When you say Gentile Christians, ito yung term na ginagamit ng mga Jews na ibig sabihin hindi Gentile, hindi sila Jew. Kung Jew ako, ang tawag ko sa Gentile, ibig sabihin ibang lahi. Ibang lahi ka, hindi ka Jew. So yun yung term na ginagamit na Gentile dito. So there were mga ibang lahi na Kristiyano at mga Jewish na Kristiyano. So yun po nangyayari ito. Wala namang issue kay Peter na makisalo sa mga Gentiles na ito eh. Ngunit nung nakita niya bumisita ang mga Jewish leaders na galing Jerusalem o yung mga circumcision party na tinatawag sa verse na ito, hiniwalay niya ang kanyang sarili sa mga ito at sumama lamang sa mga Jewish Christians. Yun lang po ang ginawa niya. Hindi na siya nakisalo, nakipagkwentuhan, at marahil hindi na din pinansin ang mga ito. Ang words na ginamit dyan, he drew back. Drew back or withdrew, sa ibang translation, ay isang Greek military term na ang ibig sabihin ay strategic military withdrawal. Strategic, intentional. So ang kanyang pagbukod sa mga Gentile Christians ay medyo deceptive. May pagninin lang. Kasi gradual ito at hindi biglaan. O dahan-dahan niyang binukod ang kanyang sarili sa mga ito bawat araw. So hindi lang one time po ito. Bawat araw, dahan-dahan siyang humihiwalay at nakikisama lang sa mga Jewish Christians at yung mga tropa niya na Gentile Christians, hindi na niya pinakikisamahan. Okay? So, sino ba ang mga circumcision party na ito? Parang mga big time ito. Ang mga men na tinatawag na who came from James? Ito marahil ang mga Jewish leaders na tiga Jerusalem na kung saan sumasama, madalas itong grupo na ito sumasama sa kay Apostle James. Now, sino ba si Apostle James? Si Apostle James is the half-brother of Jesus Christ o kung saan siya rin yung tinatawag na parang head or senior pastor ng Jerusalem Church ng time na yon. At itong mga mamang ito ay madalas sumama, madalas dumikit, madalas bumarkada. Napag-usapan na natin yan last week sa ating passage. A few men slipped in sa leadership, sila yon. Bagamat madalas nila makasama si James, they still lack the convictions of the Apostle James. A lot of their beliefs at saka practices were not endorsed by James himself. They are the Judaizers na naniniwala na bukod kay Kristo, kailangan mo pa rin magpa-circumcise. Kailangan mo pa rin sundin yung mga dietary laws ng mga Jews para ikaw ay magkaroon ng kapatawaran sa Panginoon. Hindi sila kumakain kasama ng mga Gentile Christians dahil hindi ito naaayon sa Jewish dietary law ng kanilang pinapractice. Ay, huwag tayo kumain dyan dahil kinakain nila yung mga hindi dapat natin kain, mga kung paano i-prepare. Kasi ang mga Gentile Christians ay kumakain ng mga pinagbabawal na pagkain na hinanda sa maling kapamamaraanan. And in some cases, yung mga pagkain na yon ay inalay sa mga Diyos-Diyosan. But Peter has no theological, even ethnical issues about this. Wala siyang issue ron. Because he believes that there is now freedom in Christ at nawasak na ng Panginoon, Hesukristo, ang pader ng division ng Gentiles at saka Jews. Ngunit, nung nakita niya na dumating yung mga Judaizers na ito na galing Jerusalem, biglang naiba ang kanyang pagkilos. Bakit ganon? Anong nangyari? Nag-iba ang kilos. Nakita ka ng tao, di ba, pag may dumating ibang grupo, tapos nakita mo parang nag-iiba ng kilos. Anong nangyari sa'yo? Ano nakain mo? Parang may nakita kang multo. Parang ganon nangyayari rito eh. Kung meron mas nakakaalam na hindi hadlang ang pag-fellowship ng Jewish Christians at saka ng mga Gentile Christians, si Peter yon. Siya dapat yon. Bakit kamo? Kasi kailangan nyo ako lakbay. Sumama kayo sa paglakbay sa akin sa Acts chapter 10, verse 11 to 15. You can write that down or you can flip the pages of scripture with me. Acts chapter 10, verse 11 to 15. This is some kind of a background kung bakit ganun ang reaction ni Peter. Si Peter dito ay nagdarasal. Yun ang context. He was praying before lunchtime at biglang nagkaroon siya ng vision or pangitain. At ito ang nakita niya sa vision. And I will read verses 11 hanggang 15. And Peter saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by four corners upon the earth. In it were all the kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Verse 14, but Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." So anong pangyayari rito? Ang mga Jews may pinagbabawal ang Panginoon sa Old Covenant na kainin. So nung pagbaba ng tela na yun o yung kumot na yun, nakita ni Peter sa vision, pagsilip niya, nandun yung mga animals sa pinagbabawal kumain. Sabi niya, "Uy, may baboy dito. Bawal kasi yung baboy." Tapos biglang narinig niya ang boses ng Panginoon, "Katayin mo, kumain ka." "Ay, hindi, Lord. Kilala mo ko. Hindi ko malalabagin yan. Marumihan." Being a very spiritual Peter. Pero tinan mo yung sagot ng Panginoon sa verse 15. "When God has made clean," sabi ng Panginoon, "do not call common or unclean." Huwag mong tawagin na marumi, ang nilinis ko na. Ang kahulugan ng pangitain na ito, ay hinahanda ng Panginoon si Peter to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Kasi ang gospel before is para sa mga Jews lang. Pero because of that vision, God is telling them, you need to bring the gospel sa mga iba-ibang lahi. Yun ang sinasabi niya. At pagkatapos niyang makita ang vision na ito, nagising siya, which is three times niya nakita, he was called to share the gospel to a Gentile Roman na ang pangalan ay Cornelius. Sinama siya sa lugar ni Cornelius. Pagdating kala Cornelius, andun ang kanyang buong pamilya. He shared the gospel. They believed in the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord came upon them. They broke into different languages. And from there, they were baptized. Namangha si Peter. Mahalaga ng kanyang natutunan. Kaya sabi niya sa chapter 10, verse 34 to 35, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality or favoritism. But in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. Tandaan niyo yung mga sinabi niyang yun, ha? At pagkatapos ang pangyayaring ito, bumalik siya sa Jerusalem, nakatanggap siya ng katakot-takot na kritisismo. Kanino? Sa mga Jewish leaders. Malamang, ito yung mga Judaizers na kinritisize. Sabi sa Acts 11, chapter, verse 3, you went to the uncircumcised men and ate with them? Parang yun ang, ha? May karon? Nakisama ka sa mga yun? Kasi nga, bawal. Ano sagot ni Peter? Verse 17. If then God gave the same gift to them as He gave to us, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Nung sinabi niya yun, there was silence. And then they praised God. So dito, kitang-kita natin na nauunawaan ni Peter na ang vision na nakita niya ay hindi lamang sharing the gospel sa mga iba-ibang lahi, kung hindi they can now have fellowship. They can now eat whatever, eat with Gentile Christians. Alam ni Peter yon. And that means eating with them, eating their food, regardless kung paano ito hinanda. Alam ni Peter ito. Kaya sabi ni Paul sa verse 12, balik tayo ng Galatians chapter 2, sinabi ni Paul sa kanya, Peter was eating with Gentiles. Alam ni Paul yun. Tama yan. Meaning Peter was doing a good job. Noong time na to, he was doing the right thing. He knows na okay lang. Wala itong problema. He knows that Christ came and broke down the wall of hostility, of division ng Christian Jews and Gentile Christians and Jewish Christians. Sila na ngayon ay kapatiran sa Panginoon. Wala nang problema. Now, bakit of all people si Peter ang humiwalay sa mga Gentile believers na ito? Nung nakita lang niya yung mga Judaizers na ito. Well, the answer is because he was intimidated. He was intimidated by this group. Why? Because he feared them. He feared that he might be criticized again. Alam mo, in-criticized na siya before. It was a debate. Fear that he might lose yung favor with them sa loob ng church. Peter lacked courage sa kanyang convictions. Pero we should not be surprised kasi ito po ang kahinaan ni Peter. Flaw ni Peter ito eh. Several times sa Gospels, he starts strong at sa kalagitnaan ng kanyang paglakad, biglang masastumble siya. Let me give you two instances. Matthew chapter 22, verse 23. You don't need to go there. You can write this down. Matthew 22, verse 23. When Peter and the other disciples ay nasa bangka, there was a huge, strong storm. Nung nakikita nila yung mga alon, lalamunin ang kanilang bangka, takot na takot sila. And all of a sudden, nakita nila si Jesus Christ. Naglalakad. Sabi, this is I. Sabi ni Peter, Lord, kung ikaw yan, ask me to come down. Maglalakad, punta ako sa iyo. And Jesus says, come. And here comes Peter. There he was, full of faith and boldness and strength, and he was walking. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he feared for his life and started to sink. Started strong and then stumbled. Another instance, Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Matthew 26, 31. Jesus said to his disciples, all of you will fall away because of me. Eto naman ang magaling na Peter sa verse 33. Lord, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Panginoon, hindi kita iiwan. Walang iwanan to. Yan ang sinasabi niya eh. And then after a few verses 69 to 70, in fear of his life, he denied Christ three times. Started strong, big talk. Dumating ang circumstances, may isang slave girl, slave girl na nakita siya, hindi ba kasama mo yung Jesus at yung, hindi, hindi kasama, hindi. Tapos nagmura siya. Para ipakita na hindi siya kasama sa mga yon. He feared a young slave girl. He took his eyes off Christ. Friends, just a side application sa exposition na yon. When we are going through difficult situations in our life, and we know that we're walking strong, we know that we're walking faith, focusing our eyes towards Jesus. But if, here's the problem, if we take our eyes off Jesus and allow fear to consume us, that's the time we start to stumble and fall. Stumble and fall saan? Away from Jesus. That was the case of Peter. But after the resurrection, the Spirit of God came and gave Peter supernatural boldness after noon. He started preaching boldly. Tuwing nagpipreach siya, bigang may kasabay pa yun, signs and wonders. God is using him powerfully. Just as long as he lives in submission to the Spirit of God, he will persevere. Balik tayo sa ating storya, Galatians chapter 2. Peter started out right. He started out right. He started strong by eating with Gentile believers because he has the right belief. But when he took his eyes away from the gospel of Jesus Christ and focused on man's opinions, he stumbled and fell. Right belief. Yes, Peter, right belief, but wrong behavior. So verse 13, ang tawag sa kanya ni Paul, hipokrito. Hypocrite. Hypocrisy means to speak out from under. To speak out from under. Sa mga Greek theater plays, kadalasan po nagsusuot yung mga actors ng maskara. Okay? They wore mask. Ang tawag sa kanila, hypocritos. Yun ang tawag sa mga actors ng time na to. As they speak their lines, they spoke out from under their masks. So yun po nakuha yung term na yun. Tinatago nila ang tunay nilang sarili. Tinatago nila ang tunay nilang paniniwala. Tinatago nila ang tunay nilang pamumuhay. By the role they were playing. Ganito din ang ginagawa po ni Peter sa situation na ito. Tinatago niya ang tunay niyang sarili. Tunay niyang paniniwala. Tunay niyang pamumuhay. By playing a role he did not believe. At hindi pa po natatapos dito ang problema. What else? Verse 13. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Hindi na nahinto ang hypocrito kay Peter, nadamay pa yung iba. Dahil sa fear of men, hindi na nahinto ito dito. Pati ang ibang Jewish Christians natakot din at ginaya pa sila ni Barnabas. Sino ba si Barnabas? Si Barnabas, ang ibig sabihin ng pangalan niya, son of encouragement, which means that describes yung character ni Barnabas. He is a man who encourages. His name describes that. So si Barnabas ang mismo ang nagdala ng ang nag-encourage kay Saul, na now Paul, na sumama sa kanya sa Antioch to shepherd the Gentile Christians. Si Barnabas din po ang nagpakilala kay Paul sa mga Jewish apostles. Si Barnabas ay isang malaking encouragement sa mga apostles ng time na to at mga kapatiran sa Antioch. He is a man who encourages. Kaya mga kaibigan, kung ito ang obvious strength ni Barnabas, kitang-kita din natin ang obvious na kahinaan ni Barnabas. Ang taong may great capacity to love and encourage others ay kadalasan may great desire din to be loved by others. To be encouraged by others. A great desire to be well thought of others. A great desire to be appreciated by others. To be liked by others. A great desire to be liked by others. And so, ang situation, when the pressure grew, Barnabas went to the group na kung saan will win the favor of the Jewish Christians. Peter, Barnabas, and the rest of the Jews, all of them feared men. They feared men. All of them were people pleasers. All of them had great desire. Listen, all of them had a great desire to be liked. Friends, the fear of man is a dangerous thing because it can control us. It can control us in a fatal way. The desire to be loved by everyone, to be liked by everyone, to be appreciated by everyone, to be well thought of by everyone leads us to take our eyes off Jesus and leads us to a theological compromise. It leads us to compromise our faith. Friends, who or what controls you? Are you being controlled by the opinions of others? Kaya ganyan ka manamit? Kaya dyan mo binubuhos yung funds mo, yung pera mo? Kaya ganyan ang kinikilos mo? Kaya ganyan ka magsalita? Kaya ganyan ang direction ng mga desisyon mo sa buhay? Who will you be controlled by? The words of man? Or is it the very words of God who just demonstrated His supremacy, power, mercy, and might nung niligtas kanya? Whose voice are you going to listen to? Whose words will control you? Mga kaibigan, ang dahilan ba kung bakit ka nasa mabigat na kalagayan ngayon ay dahil pinili mo makinig at magtiwala sa maling boses? Because yung takot mo sa tao? Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." Proverbs 29:25. Paul saw that Peter and the Jews were in the wrong. So anong ginawa ni Paul? Anong ginawa ni Paul? Nakita niyo yung ganyan na nagkakaproblema? Point number two. Confrontation. He confronted them. Straightforward ang rebuke ni Paul. Sinabi niya, ang kinikilos mo ay hindi naaayon sa tunay na diwa ng Ebanghelyo. Ano ba ibig sabihin nun? Nung una, okay naman si Peter. Tama ang kanyang ginagawa. Wala namang problema ron. Masaya siya na nakikain, nakikisama, nakikifellowship sa mga gentle Christians na ito. Sabay-sabay sila na sa hapagkainan at kinakain niya yung kung ano man ihanda sa kanya. Hindi niya nire-require na sundin ang mga gentle Christians yung mga Jewish dietary laws. Hindi niya nire-require. Okay to eh. So maganda yung pakisamahan sa church na ito. Ngayon, dahil sa kinikilos ni Peter at ng kanyang mga kasamahan, para tuloy nila pinapakita na bago sila makipag-fellowship sa atin, kailangan muna nilang sundin yung Jewish table regulations nung humiwalay sila. Yun ang kino-communicate niya. If ganun ang kino-communicate ni Peter at ng kanyang kasamahan, edi parang binaliwala niya ang gospel of grace. The very gospel that united them. Hindi man niya sabihin, pero yun ang kinikilos niya. Lumalabas na ang kaligtasan ng isang makasalanan ay nakadepende sa pagsunod sa works of the law at hindi sa faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul, harap-harapan, nirebuke si Peter in front of them all, ang sabi dyan. In front of them all. Ano ibig sabihin niyan? Sa harap ng lahat. Sa harap ng mga Jewish Christians, sa harap ng mga Gentile Christians, sa harap ng mga Judaizers. Ang tapang ng mamangto. Harap-harapan niya, nirebuke. Sabi mo, lahat dyan kumakain, ang daming tao, hindi ko alam kung anong klaseng setup nyo, pero nilapitan kasi face-to-face ang nangyari, harap-harapan eh. Nirebuke niya. Sinadya niyang marinig ng lahat. Talk about boldness. At bakit niya ginawa ito? Because public sin must be dealt with on a public basis. Kasi nakataya ang gospel dito. If hindi gagawin ni Paul ito, siguradong magkakaroon ng division ng church. Dito ang Gentile Christian, dito ang Jewish Christians. At kapag hinayaan ni Paul dito, maiiba na ang gospel message ng mga churches sa Galatia. Kapag hinayaan niya ito, maiiba ang gospel. The gospel is at stake. That's why Paul needs to put the principle into practice. Hindi sinusuporta ni Peter ang paniniwala niya sa gospel sa paraan ng kanyang pinamumuhay. Dapat lamang siyang komprontahin. Mga kaibigan, kung meron tayong kapatiran dito sa Crossroads or a brother or sister outside Crossroads na kung saan namumuhay sa paraan na taliwas sa paniniwala sa gospel o sa salita ng Diyos, kailangan natin silang komprontahin. This is a great act of love na pwede mong gawin. We must rebuke if the behavior contradicts sound doctrine. We must rebuke when it denies the gospel truth, when it misrepresents Christ. Kailangan magsalita ho tayo. I remember a friend in college na kung saan tumulong po sa akin mag-start ng mga Bible studies sa campus. I'm really encouraged by his life. He is gifted pagdating sa pagturo ng salita ng Diyos. He can articulate the gospel really clearly. He is bold sa pag-share ng gospel. I really admire this person. Now, one time nagkaroon siya ng business and he was so excited about the business and introduced niya yung business sa akin. He was selling some motorbikes. Noong time na yan, kalakasan at lakas ng business niya. So, ina-explain niya sa akin yung business, ina-explain niya kung paano pwede ako kumita rito, kung paano siyang kumikita. And while he was sharing all of this sa akin, napansin ko sa mga sinabi niya, teka muna, in the back of my mind, may pagka-illegal to ha. May pagka-illegal yung procedure, yung ibang, hindi naman sabi lahat, yung ibang kapamamaraanan ng pagtakbo ng negosyo na ito ha. So I didn't know what to say. I was younger than him. I was younger in the faith. He was respected by many Christians, so I didn't say nothing. Pero nung kinagabihan na yon, the Lord troubled my soul and clearly showed me from His Word na taliwas ang kanyang pamumuhay sa kanyang paniniwala sa salita ng Diyos. So the following week, I set up a meeting and with shaking hands and shaking lips, I started confronting this brother, knowing that I might risk yung relationship namin. After confronting him with his sin, he accepted his wrong, praise God, and asked forgiveness, praise God. He repented, praise God, and it was seen on the way he legalized yung kanyang transactions. Praise God, there was repentance. It was a risk. Friends, are there people in your life that you need to confront because they are not walking in step with the gospel? A brother or sister who is probably living in sin. Pero pastor, natatakot ako sa kanila eh. Anong gagawin ko? Mas matagal na silang mananampalataya sa akin. Mas matanda siya sa akin. Nag-aaral sa Bible college yan. Naku, eko, wala pa ako. Hindi ko nga maram kung paano mag-lead ng Bible study. Lord, pastor, paano namin gagawin yan? Kung saan, leader pa yan ng iglesia. No, magulang ko yan, kapatid ko yan, masakakatanda sa akin. Mahirap, baka pwedeng iba na lang siguro. Pastor, baka pwede ikaw na lang. Which is the most of the case I get. Listen, Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I shall build my church. Yun ang sinabi niya kay Peter. Peter is also one of the most prominent apostles noong time na yon. Kaya nga, bigla sumunod yung mga Jewish Christians sa kanya nung lumipat. Hindi na nagtanong eh. Ultimo si Barnabas eh, sumunod sa kanya. Hindi na nag-isip. Ay, si Peter naman kasi yan eh. Tara, punta na tayo. Malamang tama yan. So, yun po yung nangyari to. So, ano ibig sabihin ko dito? Give me a side application sa point na yan. Hindi porke sinabi ni Pastor, doon ka na rin pupunta. Hindi porke sinabi ng leaders o isang tao na kung saan kilala sa kanyang pananampalataya, ay may sinabi na gawin mo to o ginagawa niya yon, is gagayahin mo na rin. Friends, you have to open God's Word. Maraming mga tao na prominente na kilalang kilala na sa turo. And because maraming sumusunod in the back of our minds, sundan na rin natin. Total, ang daming sumusunod. Be careful. Just a side application. It does not matter kung anong tao ito, kilala o nirerespeto na mananampalataya. If they are in the wrong or in sin, we must call them out. Si Paul, pinatunayan niya ang kanyang authority as an apostle. Kinompronta niya ang pinaka-prominenteng apostle of them all, Peter. Peter, Pastor, pero baka ma-risk yung relationship namin pag ginawa namin yan. Ma-risk yung friendship namin. Okay lang ba yun? Paano ba yun? My answer to that is, yes, you will risk your relationships. You are risking your relationship because it's because the gospel is at stake. Friends, if any of the pastors of this church, including myself, is not walking in step with the gospel, is living a life of sin, call us out. Confront us. If we're living a life of unrepentant sin, then you should confront us, rebuke us in the presence of all. 1 Timothy 5:20 po yan. If a pastor is in immoral sin, call him out in the presence of all so that there would be fear. Pastor, paano yun? Of course, there's a way, there are ways to do that. Next week po, sa week 4 ng ating membership class, si Pastor Jack will explain that. Meron, ang topic ng kanya sa membership class is leadership inside the church. How to call out your leaders with love. Okay, so if you're in that class, you're in for a treat next week. Friends, do you need to be, we talked about you confronting someone, but let me ask you this. Do you need to be confronted? Do you need to be confronted because you are not walking in step with the gospel? Do you think kailangan kang kumprontahin ngayon? If you are, be ready. Be ready to be confronted. If a brother and sister sees this and they love you, they will confront you. If you see anything in my life that needs to be confronted, if you love me, you will confront me. Not only did Paul confront Peter with his wrong behavior, but also reminded him of the gospel truth, which is number 3 and last. Convictions. 15 to 16. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law. Ilang beses na banggit yung word na justification. It was mentioned 5 times. Ano ba ibig sabihin ng justification? Justification ay isang legal term na kung saan ang judge or ang hukom declares the accused not guilty. I think napapanood na natin ito sa cultural media. Not guilty or innocent, or yung biblical term righteous, where God declares you righteous. Wala kang pagkakasala. Ang kabaligtaran po ng justification is condemnation, where the judge declares guilty. So verse 15 to 16, pinaalala ni Paul kay Peter na pareho silang lumaki na Hudyo at pareho sila under the teaching ng mga Pharisees, tinuro ang Old Testament law. They know all the dietary laws, yun ang sinasabi sa 15 to 16. At alam nila na hindi ito ang nagpawalang sala ng kanilang kasalanan. Yun yung argument ni Paul sa 15 to 16. Paul is reminding Peter that they were not declared righteous, not guilty, innocent, not by obeying the law. Dahil una, hindi nila kayang tuparin lahat ng law ng Panginoon. Pangalawa, kung matupad man nila yung karamihan, lahat ng kabutihan nila ay maruming trapo sa harapan ng Diyos. Isaiah 64:6. So paano mapapawalang sala ang isang makasalanan? Look at verse 16 sa second part. A person is justified through faith in Jesus Christ, so we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. So ano ibig sabihin nun? We become righteous, innocent, not guilty sa harapan ng Diyos by putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone. Pero faith in what? In Jesus Christ, Pastor? Let me ask that again. Faith in what? In Jesus Christ. Paano? Well, putting our faith on who He is and what He has done. Those are two things. Who He is, the Son of God. What He has done on the cross. Ang lahat po ng mga reliyon sa mundo makes an effort to do all good deeds in order to be accepted by God. God in order to win God's favor, in order to be loved by God. Gagawin ko lahat to, Panginoon. Mahalin mo lang ako, tanggapin mo lang ako. Ito din ang ginagawa ng mga tao pag gusto nila mapatawad sila sa kanilang kasalanan. Pupunta ng church lagi, sa iba-ibang church pa yan, magdarasal lagi, magbibigay ng offering, magbibigay ng tulong sa mahihirap, magvo-volunteer sa mga charity works. Titigilan ng bisyo, magiging mabuting anak, tapat na asawa, and so forth, and so on. Gagawin nila lahat ho yan. Hopeful, they're hoping na mapatawad sila ng Panginoon. They're hoping na yung mabubuti nilang gawa ay mas matimbangan ng masasama nilang gawa. Lahat ng mga gawaing ito ay maganda. I'm not saying these things are wrong. Ang problema lang dito, hindi siya sufficient, hindi siya sapat upang ma-declare tayo ng holy God na guilty or not guilty. Siya ay banal at matuwid na hukom, at bilang isang matuwid at banal na Diyos, paparusahan niya ng kamatayan ang lahat ng naglalabag sa batas niya. That means, friends, if you're saying makasalanan ka, if I'm saying makasalanan ako, then we're all going to face the wrathful sentence, which is death, ng Panginoon. Ngunit, dahil sa mercy and grace ng Diyos, Ama, pinadala niya ang kanyang anak na si Jesus, who lived a righteous life na walang kapintasan, walang pagkakasala. When Jesus came, He preached and taught to these people. He ministered to these people. He fed them, healed them, raised some of them from the dead, loved them, lived with them. But the very people who He came to save are the very same people who betrayed and crucified Him on the cross. Which blows my mind na pinlano ito ng Diyos Ama. Isaiah 53 verse 10. It was the will of the Lord to crush Jesus. Why? So that Jesus would take our place on the cross. Jesus was judged in our place. Jesus took the punishment of our sins. On the cross, He experienced the full wrath of God poured to Him and died on that same cross. Namatay siya sa krus para sa atin. Friends, the good news is that He has risen on the third day for our justification. Ang lahat ng mga Diyos ng reliyon ng mundo will tell you, linisin mo muna ang sarili mo at lumapit ka sa akin. Ang Diyos lang ng Kristyanismo, ang Diyos lang ng Gospel, ang nagsasabi na lumapit ka sa akin at lilinisin kita. Jesus came for the helpless. Jesus came for the worthless. Jesus came for the outcast, for the rejected, for the abused, for the abuser, for the broken, for the dirty, for the criminal, for the rebels, for sinners. That's why anyone who repents, tinalikuran, pinagsisiyan ng kanyang kasalanan, at nilagay ang kanyang pananampalataya kay Kristo bilang Diyos at yung ginawa niya sa krus para sa kanyang kasalanan, ay may kapatawaran. He will be saved. He will be called righteous. He will be declared innocent. He will be justified. He will become part of the family of God. So friends, repent and believe. Magsisi na tayo sa ating kasalanan at ilagay ang pananampalataya natin kay Kristo at ang ginawa niya sa krus. Bakit pinapaalala ni Paul ito kay Peter? Eh kasi si Peter was causing confusion on the way he is behaving. Parang ang dating hindi siya naniniwala doon. Verses 17 to 18. Ang mga kaaway ni Paul ay may counter-argument. Ang sinasabi nila na since ang justification by faith is in Christ, ay tinanggal lahat ng mga mabubuting gawa or works of the law, eh di ibig sabihin pwede na natin gawin ang gusto natin gawin. Pwede na tayong mamuhay ayon sa ating kagustuhan. Hindi ba nag-i-encourage ng sinful living ito? Yun ang sinasabi sa verse 17 to 18 eh. At si Kristo daw ay parang promotor ng kasalanan? I remember when I was a young Christian, I shared the gospel to a friend. At ang sabi niya, after inviting him to repent from sins and trust Jesus Christ, ito ang sinabi niya sa akin. So ang sinasabi mo ba, Brad, tanggapin ko lang si Kristo at maliligtas na ako. Tapos pwede ko nang gawin yung gusto kong gawin. Sabi mo, tanggapin lang si Kristo, maniwala lang kay Kristo. So, ibig sabihin, sige, bibili ako ng ticket, tatanggapin ko si Kristo, and from there, tutuloy ko na yung aking mga bisyo, tutuloy ko na yung aking pamumuhay sa kamunduhan. Yung ba sinasabi mo, nung tinanong niya sa akin yon, di ko alam kung anong sasagot ko ng time na yon. Kapatid, kung ito ang iyong paniniwala ngayon, kung ito ang iyong pamumuhay ngayon, tinanggap mo si Kristo na parang tiket papuntang heaven at ngayon namumuhay ka na para kang tiga-impyerno. I want you to start questioning yourself kung ikaw ba ay tunay na Kristiyano, kung ikaw ito. Question yourself, ask yourself if you are in the faith. Tunay ba na niligtas ka ni Jesus Christ? Kasi ang tunay na niligtas ni Jesus Christ sa 1 John chapter 3 verse 6. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Pag wala pa rin pagbabago sa buhay mo, kung yung affections mo kay Christ ay wala pa rin, kung you don't see yung sin mo as sinful, if you don't see yung righteousness mo as sinful, then probably you are not a Christian. Paul argued na kung ang isang mananampalataya ni Kristo ay babalik sa law or yung works of the law, ang gagawin lang ng law sa kanya, ipapamukha sa kanya na hindi niya kayang sundin ito. So binalaan ni Paul si Peter against trusting in Christ, tapos namumuhay siya na parang ang dahilan ng kanyang kaligtasan sa Panginoon ay dahil sa pagsunod niya sa law. Ingatan mo yung pamumuhay mo. Verse 19 to 20, Paul described the transformation ng isang mananampalataya if he comes to God by faith in Christ in terms of death and resurrection. Nagkaroon siya ng union with Christ in His death and resurrection. The law demanded death for those who broke it, but Christ paid the penalty for sinners. He died to the law, meaning he no longer lives his life trying to justify himself sa Panginoon. So ano ibig sabihin po niyan? Hindi na niya kailangan i-earn ang acceptance ng Diyos Ama. Hindi na niya kailangan mag-exert ng effort para tanggapin siya ng Diyos. He has already gained God's approval and God's acceptance. Paano? Through Jesus Christ. Paul is now saying, since iniligtas na tayo ng Diyos through Jesus Christ, we now have a relationship with God the Father. We are now to live our lives fully devoted to God. That's why Paul, always seeking ways to please God. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He is reminding Peter of these truths. Mga kaibigan, we don't serve God in order to be saved by Him. We are saved by God through Jesus Christ. That's why we serve Him. Tayo po ay iniligtas ng Panginoon in order for us to give Him glory sa ating buhay. So my question, mga kaibigan, is this. Whose glory are you living for? Verse 21 and last, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Paul is saying dito is, I do not set aside yung grace ng Panginoon. Hindi ko pinag-iisang tabi, kagaya ng ginawa ni Peter. Kasi yun ang ginawa ni Peter at ng kanyang mga kasamahan. Paul, in a way, gives his final warning. If Peter, itutuloy mo yung ganyang klaseng pamumuhay, na ina-affirm na ang kaligtasan ay parang nanggagaling sa mabubuting gawa, then walang saysay yung ginawa ni Kristo. Kung yun ang sinasabi mo. Mga kaibigan, I exhort us right now na tayo po ay mamuhay na nakaayon sa ating pananampalataya kay Kristo. Yung ba ang paniniwala mo kamukha ng pamumuhay mo? Yung bang paniniwala mo kay Kristo, yan ang lumalabas, namumutawi sa iyong labi? When the truth of the gospel is on the line, believers in Christ must be prepared to put the principle into practice.